All right, so a terrible feeling washes over you. You've just realized that you wronged someone or you made a mistake, and you feel absolutely awful about this. Then when this happens, you start thinking about what you've done. You start, you know, you sit down or you go to a quiet place and just think about what you did. And you wonder now what you're supposed to do now to fix all this. Sometimes it's kind of helpless. Sometimes it's a small thing. Sometimes it's a big thing. But usually, you know, we just want to fix the situation and make it right. We've all experienced this sinking feeling that we've done wrong and we just want to make it better. In our human condition, we're all going to face this. We're all imperfect. We're all sinful. But we should all be prepared for this when it does happen, because it is going to happen. You know, we are sinners and we're going to make mistakes. Ships weather storms better if the soldier or the sailors are prepared. Thank you, Ryan, for doing that for me. Now I know how long I'm going to be, so I'm not here all day. he changed the timer, by the way. Wrongs can be detrimental even if they're unintentional. Have you ever done something that you didn't mean to do, but it actually caused a lot of problems later? Or even problems that you may have meant to do and you really felt bad about them later? This could be detrimental to a job. It could be detrimental to a relationship, or even just bad for our own well-being. Sometimes we just feel really horrible about it. None of us want it. You know, all of us would like to be, I would believe, successful and happy people. So what I'd like to do in this message is show how to take some steps to prevent this. So when this does happen, you have a way out of it. Okay, so you've done something wrong or you've made a mistake. Now what? Sometimes the first thing you do is what we shouldn't do, and that is blame shifting or excuse making. We don't like seeing other people do this, but whenever it's shifted the other way and we're in the hot seat, sometimes we don't think it's quite so bad. This is the wrong thing to do because it kind of takes away from our ability to change it. Adam and Eve actually did the same thing too. This was the second thing they did wrong after they made their mistake, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. The problem is that it's so easy to look at others for the mistakes that we did. We could say maybe something like, he didn't do it, or if he didn't do that, I wouldn't have done that. Or maybe, it's her fault, I'm not wrong. You know, just taking that blame that we would have had on ourselves and pushing it to someone else. Or some other excuse, just so that the spotlight's not on us. Because most of us don't want to be wrong. Most of us just don't want to have that about us. It doesn't help your situation, you or others, whenever you just put the wrong on someone else. The moment you make these excuses, you take away any power that you may have had to correct the issue. If you think about it, you almost become a slave or a victim to that problem. You have no recourse, no ability to change what's happened. You become a slave to your own actions. We all have the freedom to choose, and it may seem easier at the moment to just blame someone else for what happened, but it's really a lot harder because you're stuck in that rut and you can't get out of it. With Adam and Eve sinning, how did they respond? I'm going to look at that, and they actually responded quite poorly. This is an example of what not to do. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 10, it says, "And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, it is true that Eve did give to Adam the fruit, which was wrong. And it is true what Eve said, that she did listen to Satan, and he deceived her, which was also wrong. But just because they did these things doesn't negate that they both did wrong. Adam and Eve were both fearful. You know, it was fear that drove them to make these excuses, to blame the other side. And because of this, they betrayed each other and themselves, too. They betrayed what they were supposed to do. And betraying each other, you look at Adam, I mean, he's blaming his wife for what he did instead of taking responsibility for what he did and being a man about it. So we definitely should not do this as what Adam and Eve did. The same decision lies with us. You know, we can either blame others for what's happened, or we can take the personal responsibility and actually do something about it. And that's what I like to do, these steps of what to actually do. Now, the first thing to do, I believe, in a situation like this is to address it immediately. In Matthew 5:25, Yahshua says, "Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in the prison." You have to deal with the mistake right away. The problem is that if you don't deal with it right away, it's going to compound, and it's going to get worse and worse. It's better to deal with something sooner than later. There's a kind of a story. A man once owned a really lovely house. He owned it in his family for several generations. His great-great-great-grandfather actually built a tree or planted a tree right by the house. This really nice house. The tree looked great for years. The problem is that it was pushing into the foundation. So it was either the tree had to stay or the house was going to get pushed over. So the tree sadly had to be pulled. The man went and hired excavators with the bulldozers and some other equipment. It took a lot of time, and it took a lot of effort. And then whenever it was finally all done, the man was thinking about all that he had done, all the money he had put into hiring this excavator to remove this tree, all the labor and all just the time and money that he put into it. He was thinking just how easy it would have been if he could go back in time, just take the little seedling and just plop it somewhere else that was farther from the house. So it wouldn't be a huge problem later. Now, the same thing could be said for us. If problems are not dealt with while they're small, they tend to become a lot bigger. So, you know, even for us, thinking about mistakes in our lives, maybe there's a mistake that we haven't dealt with. Maybe there's something wrong that maybe you're thinking of right now that, you know, you've done wrong for Yahweh, you've done wrong to others that you haven't dealt with right away. Best thing to do is address it as soon as possible. You may not want to. You know, usually no one really likes conflict. I don't like conflict, I'm sure most people. If you like conflict, there's probably something wrong with you. It's just not a fun thing to do. But just because it's not a fun thing to do doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. You're going to save yourself a lot of problems later by acting immediately. An example I like to go through is David. Not the common example of him making a mistake in 2 Samuel 11, but actually end of the 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel 24, David enacted a census. What a census is you count up all the people. Now, there's no reason why this was given. It doesn't say that why David did this. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says, "And again, the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.'" Now, this is strange because, you know, you think, well, why did Yahweh, you know, make him do this? Because it also says in 1 Chronicles 21:1, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." I believe that this is, I don't know why there's a discrepancy in this, but it seems like it's almost like in the case of Job, whenever Satan, you know, had, Satan did the bad thing and Yahweh allowed it. So it's almost like in here, Satan is having David do this bad act and Yahweh is allowing it to happen. Because censuses really weren't bad, and this is kind of like a lot of background story, but it kind of goes into what's actually happening. Censuses weren't actually bad. In Exodus 30, verse 12, the people were numbered, but this is only for the half shekel, for the gathering of the half shekel. David was the king, so perhaps he did this to see the glory of his kingdom. So that's the possible reason or why he did this. There's no reason why it would be considered as bad. But regardless, Yahweh was angered because of what David did. Joab, captains David, moving on in the story, warned David not to do this. And David persisted. It took 9 months and 20 days to do the census. Now, David did not, even though it was a wrong thing to do, David did not address this immediately during the process. But after the process, he did address it in verse 10. 2 Samuel 24:10, "And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people." So once he had done this, he committed a bad act. You know, he took a census he wasn't supposed to, probably for his own glory. After that happened, it took 9 months and 20 days, and then he felt really bad about it. So he went to Yahweh, and that's definitely something that we need to do the same thing too. In this case, David offended Yahweh. Same thing can be for us. If we offend Yahweh, we need to go to him immediately. If we offend a brother or someone, we need to go to them immediately. And then the next step after we have gone to them, we need to be humble. We need to confess and apologize for wrong to the party we've offended. In James 5:16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another." Now, this isn't confession like in the Catholic Church where you give your confession to the clergy. This is confessing your wrong to the wrong party, to the person you've actually harmed. David did the same thing too, continuing on in 2 Samuel 24:10. And David said unto Yahweh, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Yahweh, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." So when you act immediately, you need to apologize for the mistake that you made and ask for forgiveness. You know, most are actually willing to forgive, if you think about it. If you've ever been angry with someone, I'm sure we've all been angry with someone in the room. None of us have, you know, not got angry with anyone. And that person came to you humbly and was really remorseful for what they did. I'd say most of us are probably very hard to hang on to that anger. You know, it's very difficult to see someone that just comes to you humbly without, you know, feeling compassion for that person. The same thing with us, too. You know, if we go to others and we say that we're sorry, typically they're going to react the same way that we do. And that is, you know, to want to show compassion for the person. But once we do this, we want to take it to a next step. And we want to make restitution for the wrong. It's not just about saying sorry. You know, you don't want just to say sorry just rotely and then that's it. Sometimes there's things you have to do because of what you did wrong. Sometimes there's consequences that are big, and sometimes there are consequences that are small. For instance, if a sanitation employee forgets to throw out your trash, that's not that bad, but if a doctor makes a mistake with a heart transplant, then that's a big mistake. So the next thing we need to do is we need to take action for fixing the mistake. And this is something that's kind of lost in our culture, of actually making restitution. For instance, let's say someone steals. Typically in our culture, they're just thrown into jail. But if you think about like the whole situation, what's going on, did the person who got stolen from get his goods back? No, he didn't get anything back at all. He's at a loss for what he got stolen. Who pays for the thief's time? He's in jail. Well, if he's in your state, you do. You're the one who pays for his confined rent. So the thief is punished, but not reformed, and everyone else suffers. But the Bible teaches a different type of way of dealing with this. And in the situation for stealing, the thief would have to give back 5 times what he owed, which is a much better solution because the person who stole, the person who got his stuff stolen from, gets more back from what he got stolen. The thief learns how to work and actually learns it doesn't pay to steal because he not only has to work, but he's got to pay it back 5 times. And society is not taxed as a whole because you don't have your money taken from you. So the Bible has a much better way of dealing with problems, and that's restitution. And that's whenever a wrong has happened, when a wrong happens, to making it right. David, in this situation, also dealt with consequences. Whenever this happened, Yahweh sent the prophet Dan to give David 3 choices. He said that they could either have 7 years of famine in the land, they could either have 3 months, that David would have 3 months of fleeing from his enemies, or he could have 3 days of pestilence in the land. Now David, I guess, weighed these options and decided that the last one was the best, which was the 3 days of pestilence. Now, because of this, Yahweh brought the pestilence and killed 7,000 men because of this pestilence. Yahweh stopped the destruction, but I mean, there's a lot of bad things that happened because of this one action on David. David appealed to Yahweh, and because of this, Yahweh said that he had to go and offer a sacrifice at the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. Now, when David got there, Arunah was, of course, he was the subject of the king, Arunah. So, you know, king, David's over everything. He, if you think about a kingship, he's like, you know, almost, not even say he owns everything, but he can do almost anything he wants most of the time. Aruna sees the king coming and says that the king can have anything he wants and use. But David has a different idea about this because he realizes that he has to do something. He has to pay back something because of his wrong. It says in 2 Samuel 24, 24 to 25, the king said to Aruna, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price." See, he wants to do something. He knows that he has to do something. He can't just get off, you know, scot-free without actually doing something. "Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto Yahweh my Elohim, that which doth cost me nothing." So David brought the flesh threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So Yahweh was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. See, David took action. Yahweh told him what he needed to do, and he actually took the actions to make amends for it. You know, Yahweh relented in his anger. And, you know, in a situation like this, what was lost really is the relationship between David and Yahweh. You know, David did wrong, and there was a breach in their relationship. And that's kind of the same thing with us, too. Whenever we do something wrong, there's a breach in that relationship. And all of this, all of these processes of humbling ourselves and doing immediately, what we really want to do is restore the relationship. Because none of us want those, you know, we all value our relationships. When they're broken, we get this sense of pain. And we want to get those relationships back. And the way to do this is to actually not just be remorseful, but take action to show the person that you're remorseful. It's like the parable that Yahshua gave of the two sons. And the one son said that he was going to do it, but didn't do it. And the other son said that he wasn't going to do it, but actually went back and did it later. The same thing with us. If we show we're really sorry, we're actually going to take action and try to make things right. And hopefully, once this, all these three steps happen, we've restored the relationship. We dealt with the issue immediately. We've confessed that we did wrong, made a mistake, and then we tried to make amends for it. And the last thing that we need to do is we need to learn from our mistakes. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." You know, we need to be this kind of person, the person that kind of gets up from their mistakes. But we also don't want to be the, you know, kind of that keeps on falling into the same hole. It just kind of gets, you know, aggravating if you are constantly making the same mistakes. And Yahweh will keep giving us those challenges until we learn the lessons from the things he throws at us. You know, maybe there's a flaw in your character that's something you need to work out. Maybe there's a flaw in how you interact in your relationships. Or maybe there's a flaw with your job or some other task that maybe you do. You know, none of us really are perfect. And each of us are on a journey to be like Yahshua. We need to see the flaw and we need to remove it. And how we remove these is, you know, reading the Bible on a daily basis or at least on a, you know, regular basis to reflect on good examples of other people that, you know, have been trying to do what's right. So we can gauge when we get off course and we know whenever what we're supposed to do and get back on course. We're all kind of like in this process of growing, and sometimes pulling the weeds is the necessary step to get this growing process going. So in conclusion, whenever you feel this terrible feeling wash over you, know that there is a remedy for the solution of taking action immediately to confess your sins, to make amends, make restitution for a wrong, and then learn from our mistakes. You know, we don't have to live with hurt relationships, and we don't have to live in a state of helplessness when we have those problems. Yahweh gives us the freedom to make mistakes, but he also gives us the freedom to correct them, to make amends, and to make right. And hopefully, our relationships will be stronger in the future. May Yahweh bless.